Well, tonight, the book of Lamentations encourages you to find your place there. Great is your faithfulness. Comes right out of the text. When you think about the book of Lamentations, let me give you a few introductory comments. It's the longest lament in the Bible. A lament is just a prayer of pain, of suffering. When you read the book of Psalms, you're going to see many of those psalms are dealing with pain and suffering and difficulty. But you see this in the book of Lamentations. It's also will teach us the consequences to sin, but it also gives us insight about the holiness of God as well. The book of Lamentations is a strong message on suffering for the people of God, but it also gives the believer hope. When you look at Lamentations 3, as we'll do tonight, great is your faithfulness and your mercies are new every morning. That is a great message of hope for the people of God who are facing pain and dealing with suffering in the Christian life. But it also, when you read the book of Lamentations, it doesn't necessarily end with they lived happily ever after. It's not really that at all. But here's what we know. In the midst of Lamentations, God is faithful, but you and I can be faithful as well when times are hard and when times are uncertain. God's going to be faithful, and you and I can be faithful as well. Always in life, it's not always they live happily ever after. But we know this, God's faithful. His mercies are new every morning, and we can be faithful as well. When you look in the life of the Lord Jesus, and when you look at the book of Lamentations, you may want to write this in there somewhere. You're really focusing in on the city of Jerusalem. And so when you read in Luke chapter 19, for example, Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives, looking at the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says he wept over the city of Jerusalem. When's the last time you and I have wept over the city of Clarksville? Not because there are potholes and not because traffic's congested, but because there's lostness and because there's so many people not connected to a local church and because there are so many people who are outside of a relationship with Christ. We had the opportunity yesterday of having lunch. We walked there. It was actually spitting snow as we were walking, but we walked there yesterday, a restaurant again, just very close from here. A young guy serving us yesterday, we were able to engage him in a spiritual conversation, but had no understanding of the Bible whatsoever. Never owned the Bible before. And the good news, we were able to walk back down to the building and walk back, so we got our steps in and took him his own personal copy of the Bible. And he was overjoyed to get a copy of the Bible and said, this is yours. And so he had no understanding of Scripture really at all. But that's just right around here. When's the last time we have wept over our city? When's the last time you've wept over your family, over the spiritual conditions of people in your immediate family? Jeremiah here, the weeping prophet, we'll see tonight, but he is weeping over the city of Jerusalem as well. Jesus, again, looking over that mount, over to the city of Jerusalem, weeping over that city. And here Jeremiah is doing the same thing, weeping over a city that was dear to him in his life. When you look at the book of Lamentations, you look at the holy city of Jerusalem. It is a city filled with pain, a city filled with suffering, and a city filled with destruction. That's the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because they were disobedient to God, and there are consequences to sin. When you look at the book of Lamentations, you're going to deal with this question very clearly. How do we explain pain and suffering in this world? It's a major theological question. How do we explain pain, suffering that we see in the world? But then we get real personal with that. How do we even explain pain and suffering in our own lives as the people of God? Because we know God is good, and he's good all the time. But we also know Romans 8:28, that many of those moments of pain and suffering in life become Romans 8:28 moments for us in life. So Lamentations, great is your faithfulness. Now, these bullet points in the beginning, let me get you to write and fill in some blanks here. Look at the first one. Are you and I weeping for our nation? Are we weeping for our nation? I mean, I just watch the news every now and then. And when I watch the news, it's heartbreaking to see the news. And look at a massive scale, yes. But even look at a smaller scale, and even in our own city, but also just in this Middle Tennessee area. I mean, you just think about the shootings that happen. You think about even the road rage situations that are happening. I mean, it's just dangerous to be on the road. But are you and I weeping for our nation? Jeremiah was weeping over the people of Israel in the city of Jerusalem. Second bullet point, are consequences to sin evident in our day? And I think we would all agree, yes. Consequences to sin are evident in our day. Just look at the issues in the lives of individuals. Look at the issues in marriages, in families. Look at the issues in schools. Look at the issues in churches. And just look at the issues all around us. And there are consequences to sin. We are reaping what we're sowing. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Third bullet point, is God calling his people to return to him? And the answer is yes again. He is calling his people to return to him. And in a sense of repentance, a sense of revival, renewal, he's calling us again to return to him. Fourth bullet point, do we see spiritual evidence of revival and spiritual awakening? Do we see evidence of that? And then the last bullet point there, what is God doing in your heart and life? What's he doing in our church? What's he doing in our world? But to even get more personal, what is he doing in your heart? What is he doing in your life? And that's something you want to pray about and think through. God, what are you doing in my heart? What are you doing in my life? Because God, I want to be in love with you and intimate with you and following you. So God, what are you doing? Lamentations 3, 40 and 41, let us test and examine our ways. Let's stop there for a moment. Now, when's the last time you just spent time with the Lord and you said, Lord, let me test and examine my ways before you. Are they pleasing to you or not? And then return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. So when it comes to this idea, we lift up our hearts, but we also lift up our hands. I mean, it's not just being charismatic to lift up your hands. The scripture is filled with references to expression in worship. And so here he's saying that in the book of Lamentations. Next paragraph. The purpose of Lamentations, here's the purpose of it. The purpose of Lamentations was to teach people that to disobey God is to invite disaster. And to show that God suffers when his people suffer. Our actions always bring consequences. Not they might, they always do. In Galatians 6, 7, Paul said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You sow to the sinful nature, you reap destruction. You sow to the spirit, the scripture says, you reap eternal life. And so sin will always bring consequences. And so the purpose of Lamentations, disobey God, is to invite disaster and to show that he suffers when his people suffer. Next, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He cried a lot. He's crying over the brokenness, the sin, the pain, the suffering that he sees in the people in the city of Jerusalem. He's a weeping prophet. Tears flowed from his eyes because of a broken heart. Known as a weeping prophet, tears are flowing from his eyes because God's prophet, God's man, has a broken heart. Identify, as I asked a moment ago, when's the last time we shed any tears for our city? But when we look around and we see pain, suffering, destruction, despair in the lives of people, is there any brokenness in our lives over what we see around us? It should be. As God's man was, we should. And so as God's man, he knew what was ahead for his people. What breaks our hearts? Great question. What causes us to lose sleep at night? And then are we crying out to God for him to move in our day? Think about those questions. What breaks our heart? Are we broken over lostness around us? And you have to realize when it comes to eternity, there are two options. Eternity with him or eternity separated from him. Are we broken over lostness in the lives of people? Next question, what causes us to lose sleep at night? I mean, what are you waking up thinking, God, you burdened me for this? How would you fill in that blank? What might that be in your life? And then are we crying out to God for Him to move in our day? God, we want to see You move in our nation, but we really want to see You move in our church. And then, God, I want to see You move in my life. Are we asking Him to do that in our lives? Jeremiah here was known as the weeping prophet. Lamentations 3, verse 48, my eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah was a broken, broken servant, weeping for people because they were reaping the consequences of their sin. What about you and me? Next, Jeremiah's two books focused on one event. So you've got the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, and here's that one event, the destruction of Jerusalem. The book of Jeremiah predicted it, and Lamentations looked back on it. Lamentations is a funeral song. It's a funeral song written for the fallen city of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah is predicting the fall of Jerusalem. Lamentations is looking back on it, and it's really a funeral song written for the fallen city of Jerusalem. Next paragraph, what funeral songs minister to people in our day? Music is one tool that God uses to touch the heart and soul. What funeral songs minister to people in our day? And I did a funeral this morning, and we had two songs. One of them was How Great Thou Art, and the second song was Go Rest High on This Mountain by Vince Gill. I would say, as I've done many, many funerals over the years, Amazing Grace is one of those songs that touches the hearts of people. And there are other songs that we could put into that list, but it's really a message that ministers to people. David Jeremiah said, Lamentations is often called the most sorrowful book in the Bible. But it's an important book to deal with. It's a lament. It's a prayer of pain and suffering. The book Lamentations is made up of five laments. I want to give those to you. Five laments from the book of Lamentation. Number one, details Jerusalem's devastation and desolation. Two big words, but details Jerusalem's devastation and desolation. Number two, God's anger against His people and their response. A righteous anger, a holy anger. But it details God's anger against His people and their response. Number three, Judah's complaint against what God has done. When God sends judgment, oftentimes His people complain about it. When we don't rejoice about it, we complain about it. Judah's complaint against what God has done. Number four, Judah's past and present. We see that in the book of Lamentations. Their past, but also their present. And then number five, the people on the path of repentance and forgiveness. Those are still two words that are relevant in our day. Repentance is a change of direction, and forgiveness, we have a Heavenly Father who forgives you and me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. He's faithful. And so we see that in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. This is probably the most famous section of Scripture out of this book. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Let me pause there and just say this. When you and I sin and we disobey God, He's not pleased with that. But I want you to know He never stops loving you and me. We sin against Him. We disobey Him often. But His love is unfailing. His love is unending. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. When you got up this morning, your life was filled with the mercies of God. You're going to get up in the morning, Lord willing, you're going to open your eyes. Your day is going to be blessed with the mercies of God again, because His mercies are new every morning. And then great is your faithfulness. He is faithful. He's always going to be faithful. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In the book of Ruth, we're going to come again this week. There's more periods of waiting. God calls his people oftentimes to wait in the Christian life. So the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God to you and to me. Next, God's word shouts how much he loves you and me and how he calls us to love one another. It's just so encouraging when you read the scripture. It just shouts the love of God for you and me, but it also commands us that we would love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our vision statement again, worship God, love people, share Jesus, make disciples. As we love one another, what does he say? And we'll get to this in a minute about being his disciples, but even when it comes to lost people, even when it comes to people who are living prodigal lives, living away from the Lord, do they know that we genuinely love them? That's a powerful thing. I mean, there are many people out there who don't know how even to be loved, and they don't know how to love someone else. But how do we show them the love of Christ and even the love of us who are believers? John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What an amazing promise that we have. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates or shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loves us. While we were yet sinners, separated from him, he loved us so much that Jesus went to a cross and died for you and for me. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Great passages on love. How much God loves us, that he gave us his only begotten Son. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that people are going to know we are his disciples, learners and followers of Jesus, when we love one another. And one of the things that I would say about our church, and this is a great compliment to our church, I sense that our love for God is growing, and I sense our love for one another is growing. And I pray that our love for people in our city is growing as well. There are people out there tonight going to go to bed, and for them to know that we love them and care about them, it would change their lives if we did that. So he's saying God's word shouts how much he loves you and me and how he calls us to love one another. Look at these next few statements here. What is mercy? What is mercy? We see that in the book of Lamentations. Words that describe mercy are kindness, forgiveness, and help. His mercy, it says, what never comes to an end, and his mercies are new every morning. And again, mercy, kindness of God, the forgiveness of God, and the help of God. Aren't you grateful he's kind to you and me? Aren't you grateful he forgives you and me? Aren't you grateful that when we come to him, burdened and heavy laden, he gives us rest. He's there to help you and me. That's the God we serve. And that's the true and living God. And that's mercy. And God's mercy is unlimited and fresh every morning. You know, we're getting into the season not too far from now. It's one thing to eat strawberries in January. But when we get to maybe April and May, we get what? Fresh strawberries. It's a game changer, isn't it? And aren't you grateful that when you get up in the morning, his mercy's not stale, it's not left over, it's fresh, it's new every single morning. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I love to go to a grocery store. I don't go there much, but go there and get some bread. It just came out of the oven. It's fresh. Versus it's been there for about a week and it's kind of hard as a rock. I mean, there's something about fresh bread and butter, really good. But his mercies are fresh and they're new every single morning. Look at the next paragraph. Our God is faithful. He's a faithful Father. What does that mean? He never breaks a promise. He never abandons us. He never misleads us. And he never shows inconsistencies. You just have to get your mind around those statements there. And I put several words and bold because I want you to see those. He's faithful. He never breaks a promise. The Bible's filled with thousands upon thousands of promises. He's faithful to every single one of them. How many promises do we make? And how many promises do we fail to fulfill? Happens all the time. Somebody gives us a promise, well, something came up and it just didn't work out. And the promise is broken. But here's how God works. He'll never break a single promise to you and me. He never abandons us. I feel for the people who go through life, and prayerfully they can find healing in the midst of that, who've had significant people in their lives walk out of their lives. It's painful. It's hard. God's never going to abandon you and me. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But we have a Heavenly Father who will never walk away from you and me. He'll never abandon us. It's a great promise. He never misleads us. We have people in our world who it seems to be their mission is to mislead people. Take advantage of people. Dishonest. He's never going to mislead you and me. When we follow His direction, He'll never lead us in a way that is going to hurt us. May not be easy. It may make us uncomfortable. But He's going to love us and guide us. He's never going to mislead us. And He'll never show inconsistencies. He is consistent. Always consistent. Next paragraph. Our hope is to be in the Lord. His mercy is new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. Our hope is to be in the Lord. And I've given you these words in bold as well. Not in the economy. Not in a political party. And not in material possessions. Those things would disappoint you. And I could probably even go on to say, not even in a sports team. I promise you, they're going to disappoint you. And so it's not in any of those things. Our hope is in the Lord. Why? Because your steadfast love never ends. Your mercies never cease. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's where our hope is at. I promise you, if you put it in the economy, it may be good tomorrow and it tanks the next day. So difficult to have hope in that. A political party, who can make sense out of all politically what's going on in our world? It's hard to do. We pray for those who are in leadership because that's what the Bible commands us to do. And we respect them and so forth, but our hope is in the Lord. Not in material possessions at all. We're going to see that in the book of Ruth over the next 2 weeks. Our hope is to be in the Lord because disappointment awaits people who misplace hope. There are many people who are devastated in life tonight. And they're devastated because their hope has been misplaced. They put their hope, again, in what? Maybe in a sports team or in the economy or some political figure or in some material possession. And it just didn't work out well. And they're devastated and disappointed and even depressed. But our hope is to be in the Lord, not in those things. Next paragraph. Waiting on the Lord is necessary in the Christian life. That's a difficult place to be in life, but waiting is important. Waiting is necessary. God calls you and me to stay in step with Him. It's unwise and dangerous to get ahead or lag behind God's leadership. And that's why this next week of prayer and fasting is important for us. Because we want to come to a time, God, we're waiting upon You. It's never our desire to get ahead of You, and God, it's not our desire to lag behind You. We want to stay in step with You. And so teach us the value of waiting, the importance of waiting upon the Lord and His direction and guidance. Next paragraph, our salvation is secure. Our salvation is secure. A biblical view of salvation, and I didn't have you to fill in these blanks, I just gave you the words in bold. Our salvation is about justification, sanctification, and glorification. Three significant theological words many theologians talk about, and here are the phrases: I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. It's about justification, sanctification, and glorification. But here's the good news. Our salvation is secure. The funeral I preached this morning, Mr. Miller had been a member of this church for some time, 90 years old, been battling with memory issues for some time. And it was so comforting today to be able to stand before the family and to be able to say, in the midst of his health issues, his wife, Ms. Miller, had been in a hospital, and they let her out this morning to come to the funeral today, and to be able to stand there with them and say, even in the midst of memory issues and all that your dad faced, there was nothing that could ever separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That's the promise of Romans chapter 8. Same promise to you and me. Our salvation in Christ is secure. That's why we appreciate the eternal security in the Christian life. And let me say, even tonight again, I always want to make sure when you talk about eternal security, it is not a license to sin. It's not a license to live any way you want to. When you know Christ and you know you have eternal security, you don't want to live any way you want to. You want to live God's way in life. Eternal security is a blessed thing. And so our salvation is secure. And Philippians 2, 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Here's what we can say tonight, those who are believers here, those who are listening. I can say I have been saved, and I go back to those basement steps as a young boy. When the Holy Spirit was convicting me, I was burdened, I was miserable, I knew I was lost. I turned from my sin and I put my trust in Christ. I know this, I have been saved. And I can be very clear about that. Looking from that time to even tonight, I know I am being saved because he is setting me apart. He's working in my life, sanctifying me. It's a work of salvation in my life. Not earning that. It's just a work of grace in my life. So I have been saved. I am being saved. And then one day, I don't know when that day is on the calendar, but one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ face to face in heaven, and I can say I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved because one day I'm going to be in heaven, and that's what glorification is all about. It's a beautiful thing. And so when you learn some theological words, I have been saved, justification, I am being saved, sanctification, and one day I will be saved, I'm going to be in heaven forever and forever and forever. Beautiful thing. Look at these last few bullet points here and we'll finish. How have you experienced God's unconditional love in your life? And again, you're not going to answer these out loud, but maybe in your devotion time, you can take these five or six questions and you can just write out there to the side, how have you experienced God's unconditional love? I wonder how many of us have been times in life that we found ourselves living as prodigals to him. We've walked away from the Father. And the good news is, he never stopped loving us when we were living away from him. How have you experienced God's unconditional love in your life? You could share some things. Second, have you thanked God lately for his mercy? When's the last time in your prayer life, your devotional life, driving down the road, and just said, God, I just want to thank you again that your mercies never cease, and that your mercies are new every morning. God, I thank you for that. Sure, I thank you for the sunshine. I thank you for all the blessings of life. But God, I just thank you for mercy. Here's what I deserve, but God, you gave me something really different. Thank you that you love me unconditionally, but thank you, your mercies are new every morning. Next question, what stories can you share that testify to God's faithfulness to you? Folks, this side of eternity, we'll maybe never know some of those things at all. How many times have we been driving down the highway And I mean, we were just seconds away from a serious accident. But it was the faithfulness of God that protected us. I mean, how many times has that happened? And we were just, maybe don't even realize it, just moments away. I mean, how many times are we expecting to go on this trip and something happened and we ended up in delayed, or, and you don't even know how God protected you in the midst of that. You look at it and think, well, you messed up my plans and delayed. You don't even know what could have happened. And God said, I'm just protecting you. A delay becomes a great blessing in your life. A detour becomes a great blessing in your life. It's just the faithfulness of God in life. We could never figure all that out. But what stories can you share that testify to God's faithfulness? Next, how are you living your life on the solid rock? Matthew 7, 24 through 27 is talking about building on the rock or the sand. How are you living your life on the solid rock? I would encourage you, don't build your life on the sand. The storms of life are going to come, and if it's on the sand, you don't have the right foundation. Build your life on the rock, who is Christ. On the solid rock of Christ I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Christ is the solid rock. Build your life on Him. Next question, is waiting on the Lord hard or easy for you? And to be honest for us, most of us would say it's hard. I mean, it's hard to wait in line at a fast food place. Much less God doing something in our lives. I mean, it's hard to do that. Ains and I were at a restaurant the other night, and we put in an order, and we're sitting there, and 15 minutes went by, and 30 minutes went by, and 45 minutes went by. So we finally found somebody else and said, you know, we've been sitting here 50 minutes, and our food never has really come. Do you know what's up with that by chance? I mean, we were sitting there talking, having a good time, and then come to find out they didn't even put our order in. So thank the Lord we said something, because we'd have been there about another 50 minutes if that hadn't happened. So, but somewhere waiting is just not easy for us. But I would encourage us tonight, including myself, is to come before God and say, God, will you just increase my capacity to wait upon you? Because waiting is not wasted time. Waiting is a great spiritual discipline in life. God, I don't want to get ahead of you. I don't want to lag behind you. I want to stay in step with you. And waiting helps that to happen. Last one. How is the biblical view of salvation at work in your life? I am being saved. Or I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Weeping tarries for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You know why? Because God always has the final say. It's good news. The book of Lamentations. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray together. God, we thank you tonight for walking through this significant, significant book. Thank you for Jeremiah. And Father, I thank you that you have inspired him to write those words for us to study on this Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.